Well, I want to return now to this text, Luke 16, 1 through 9. And it is a difficult text. But as we look to it prayerfully, it becomes clear to us what Jesus is telling us. The theme of this text, we have this steward who's been given great privilege and position in the house of his master. And he abuses that. It says that he wastes the master's goods. And then he turns to the world. And what Jesus tells us in this text, it's a reminder for us that the world cannot save you, but that God already has. The world cannot save you, but God already has. I was going through the news this week, and it's kind of caught my attention because there's a novelist who's gotten a lot of attention in the last couple years, and her name is Anne Rice, and some of you may know about her. She's actually one of the most widely read authors in modern history. She has sold over 100 million books, authored more than 100, and sold more than 100 million books. Most of them novels, many of them horror stories. But in fact, she was a subject of World Magazine, my favorite periodical, about 2 years ago, because she came back to and reaffirmed her Catholic faith, and indeed her Christian faith. And she said in 2004, it really shook the literary world, she affirmed her Catholic faith, and she promised that from then on she would only write to the Lord. Quite a departure from her path, and the Christian world welcomed that woman's conversion. Well, Anne Rice went on to write two more novels about Christ, but what caught my attention this week was on Thursday, just 3 days ago, she was in the news again, renouncing her Catholic faith, and in fact, she has renounced the whole church. She said this, "Today I quit being a Christian. I'm out. I remain committed to Christ, as always, but not to being a Christian or being any part of Christianity. It's simply impossible for me to belong to this quarrelsome, hostile, disputatious, and deservedly infamous group. I'm out in the name of Christ." She says, "I refuse to be anti-gay. I refuse to be anti-feminist. I refuse to be anti-birth control. I refuse to be anti-Democrat." I chuckled at that. "I refuse to be anti-secular humanism. I refuse to be anti-materialist science. I refuse to be anti-life." Well, there's a conflict there. But here's another conflict. She says, "In the name of Christ, I quit Christianity and being a Christian. Amen." She had one more sentence. She said, "My faith in Christ is central still to my life, but following Christ does not mean following the church." Anne Rice. I hope that she sounds like a very confused person to you. She says that faith in Christ is central to her life, but she will not follow Christ nor his church. Because this is who Christians are. True Christians are followers of Christ. To follow Christ means to read and to hear his word, both the law and the gospel, and to have that desire planted by God in your heart to follow Christ, not only with your mouth, but with your hands and with your feet, and to do what God asks. That desire is planted by God in the heart of the Christian church. The purpose of the church is to proclaim the word of God and to worship Jesus Christ and the Father. How can you divorce yourself from the church, the true church, which proclaims the word of Christ, and still pretend to be a follower of Christ? Well, what has this got to do with you and me? Well, first of all, it gives me an opportunity to warn this congregation and those hearing my voice again about a growing apostasy, which we see even in Minneapolis, and that is people among the church who somehow believe that they can be saved by having faith in Christ, but not believe in what he teaches in his word. In fact, we see that here even in Roseau. They believe they can trust in the salvation of Christ, but not do what Christ says. Now, the leading apostasy I'm talking about, the one that concerns me at the moment, is this thing called the emerging church. And I suspect that's what Ann Rice has been following after. The emerging church, it's all over the United States now. It's this group of people who don't want to be called Christians, who don't want to follow the church. They believe, in fact, you can call yourself whatever you want to and still believe in Christ. But, of course, Jesus tells us differently. They believe they can divorce themselves from Christianity and still claim to be saved. And, friends, this is still, it is still just the same old path of rebellion. It's just rebellion against God's word. It's just like in the book of Judges where we read over and over again that each one did what was right in their own eyes. They do what's right, what seems right, based on their own fallen desires as they follow after the world. And Jesus tells us in verse 9, he tells us what great folly this is and that it leads to damnation. Let's turn back to this text, Luke 16, 1 through 9. It is a difficult parable, but it's a parable Jesus gives to his disciples. This is a parable for the church. Jesus said to his disciples, there was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that the man was wasting the master's goods. So he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you cannot be steward any longer. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I've resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of the stewardship, that they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And the steward said to him, take your bill and write down 80. Now this is where it gets difficult. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And Jesus says in verse 9, I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Here's what Christ says about Christians in this parable. This is what he tells you and he tells me. First of all, he tells us you have been given special position in Christ. You've been given special position and trust in Christ. Secondly, Jesus reminds us that the world tempts Christians to betray their position and their trust. But third, Jesus reminds you, keep your eye on eternity. Keep your eye and your heart and your mind on eternity. Jesus says you are given special position in Christ. He tells us this parable of the unfaithful steward. And it is an unusual parable because it seems at first like the unfaithful steward is receiving encouragement for dealing shrewdly and falsely with his master. But then comes the end of the parable, and this is one of the rare occasions in Scripture where Jesus uses very harsh but very clear sarcasm. The steward, as you may know, a steward is someone to whom special trust has been placed. Like Joseph in the house of Potiphar, the captain of the Egyptian guard. Just like Joseph, the steward in Jesus' parable has been entrusted with great privilege and also with responsibility. The house steward had authority over the wealth of the whole household. What was bought, what was sold, where the money went. He also had authority over the rest of the servants. Jesus tells us these parables about stewards because if you are a Christian, then you too have been entrusted with great privilege and responsibility. We read earlier in Romans 8, chapter 8, verses 16 and 17, where the Bible says, "The Holy Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Listen to what else the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:9. It says, "Christians, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." From these verses and so many others, God tells us that we've been given, each one of us, very special position and privilege in the kingdom of heaven and in eternity through faith in Jesus Christ. And God says this is true of all Christians. It's certainly true of pastors and evangelist, but it's true of you too. Each one of you is an heir of the kingdom, a brother or sister to Christ, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. But Jesus not only gives us position and privilege, but also responsibility. The steward's first responsibility is to the master's household. He should always be seeking to do the master's will, and he should use all the master's resources, the resources of the household, for the gain of the household, for the master. And so it is with every Christian. So it should be for you. You've been given faith, first of all, not just to save you only, but to share with others. You've been given life and strength and health and a certain degree of wealth. You have been given precious time. And you know what? These things don't belong to you. They belong to God. He's been giving them to you and entrusted them to you to use responsibly. The master knows that the steward must have certain things for himself. He must be fed and have clothing and shelter, and usually the steward has certain perks that go along with the responsibility of the, but his first concern is always the welfare of the master's household. And Jesus reminds us in this parable that the world always is tempting Christians to betray their position. The problem with this steward, as it says in verse 1, is that he's been wasting the master's goods. And he doesn't explain how this is, we don't know. Perhaps the steward had spent too much of the income on himself. Perhaps the steward was not looking after the fields to make sure that they had been properly sown, cultivated, and harvested. Perhaps the steward was being mean-spirited and harsh to the other servants and abused them so they couldn't do their work. Perhaps all, and even more. Jesus only says that the steward wasted the master's goods. You see, Satan, the world, and your own old nature always are tempting us to waste the gifts that God has entrusted to us. There are so many interesting distractions and lusts and desires in the world. Anne Rice declares she believes in Christ, but she openly declares she will not do what he says in the Word. And so she sets her opinion and the politics of our day up high above the Word of God. What has she done with the treasures that God has given her? Has she been reading the Word of God? Has she not heard the voice of Jesus when he says, repent, turn away from sin and believe the gospel? Mark 1:15. Has she not heard Jesus describe the broad road that leads to destruction and the narrow road that leads to eternal life? Matthew 7. Had she not heard Jesus tell the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more? Oh, how easy it becomes to serve ourselves instead of the Master. How often we neglect the Word, which is the greatest treasure that the Master has given us and entrusted to us. How often have we neglected opportunities to share that with others who need to hear the law and the gospel? How have we wasted the wealth of talent and treasure and time that God has given us? Dear friends, Jesus tells us this parable not to condemn us and not to throw us out of the household. He tells us this parable because he wants to help us in this world. He encourages us because he knows the temptations we face. He encourages us to look to eternity. Listen how Jesus concludes this parable. This may be the most difficult verse, but it's the key to the whole parable. Jesus says in verse 9, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. In the parable, the master commends the unfaithful steward for dealing shrewdly with his goods before he was going to be fired. The steward went out and took those people who owed the master money and he cut their bills in half, hoping that when he was thrown out of the household, these other debtors would take him in, you see, and provide for him. The master says, well done. You're pretty shrewd. Now get out. But Jesus says, if I may paraphrase, Jesus says, go ahead. Make friends with the world. And when the end comes, see what kind of everlasting home the world has planned for you. What kind of home does Satan have waiting? What kind of eternity awaits those who follow after him and this fallen world? It's the same fiery inferno where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and Jesus says the flames will never end. Dear friends, Jesus is reminding you and he's reminding me, the world cannot save you. The unfaithful steward tried to make friends with the world, make provision in the world. The world has nothing for you. When you die, then you come face to face with the Master, with Christ alone, and then each one shall see how they are judged. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. Why, when we have been given such special position, stewards, heirs of the everlasting kingdom, why would anyone waste God's provision following after the world? Just as the steward was given special position, so also you and I have been given everlasting life. We've been declared sons and daughters of God in the heavens throughout all eternity. Christ died that every person might receive this same position. And through his death on a cross, your sins are washed away. God gives you faith, and through faith you are made heirs, fellow heirs. Jesus says, fellow heirs with Christ in the kingdom of God. And this is where your eternal destiny lies. And Jesus calls us, keep your eyes and your heart and your mind on this eternal destiny, not in the world, not in the favor of men. Keep your heart on the favor of God. This favor, your special position, it cannot be earned. It was already purchased for you with the blood of Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not follow after the world, but follow Christ. Listen to his word. Follow his teaching. Remember that when you stumble and fall, you're not kicked out of the house, but God lifts you up. And he says again, follow Christ, who died for your sins. Share the good news. Share the law and the gospel with souls who don't know Christ, that they too can have this special position. This is the true church, Christ's church. The church, you see, the body of believers following Christ is our eternal home. And this great position and privilege has been given to us by the grace and the mercy of our Father in heaven. May his name be praised. Amen. Let's turn to number 560.